All right, Numbers chapter 14, verse number 29. We're going to talk about grumbling against God and murmuring and complaining against God. It's a sin that carries a death sentence, and it's worthy of death. So we're going to go through some of that here. All right, let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you. Father, I pray that you just would bless. And Lord, you would guide and protect and use us here today. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to hearts today as only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Numbers chapter 14, verse number 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell there, therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. So, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmuring is a great sin, and is not a mere weakness, says Charles Spurgeon. It contains within itself unbelief, pride, rebellion, and the whole host of sins. It is a home sin and is generally practiced by complainers in their tents. But it is just as evil there as in the streets and will be quite and as grievous to the Lord. So a lot of times you see people, they murmur and complain. And murmuring is that kind of like that complaining under your breath. I'll give you a definition of it here in a second. But it's that murmur. It's a low sound, continued or continually repeated, so that a stream of running in, like a stream of running into a stony channel, or that of a flame. It means to grumble or complain, to utter complaints in a low, half-articulated voice, to utter sullen discontent with, at, before the thing which is the cause of discontent, as murmur not at sickness, or with it, or against it, before the active agent which produces the evil. To murmur is not to openly, sometimes outright complain. It's not to go to that person and try to deal with it. If you have a problem with somebody, it's to murmur under your breath. It's to murmur like Spurgeon said, in your tents. As you see in Scripture, you'll see it's to go home and complain about the preacher. That's what it's to do. It's to go home and complain about the preaching. It's to go home and complain about everything else. And then you children do. And I've seen families that are involved with this. And what happens is their children grow up and they don't respect preaching. They don't respect the church. They don't respect the pastor or authority at all. And it destroys your authority in the eyes of your children when you murmur and complain. So we understand what the Bible says it is. It's grumbling. It's grumbling against God is what it is. All murmuring is really against God. It's saying, God, you're not in control. Or if you are in control, you're doing it wrong. You're not doing things right. Right? Turn to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 24. That's grumbling right there. You hear that? It's a perfect illustration. That's grumbling. Right? Exodus chapter 15, verse number 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. How about that? What did they grumble about? They grumbled about the water. They said, oh God, you brought us out here, and we're going to die of thirst. Never mind, you parted the Red Sea. We all walked through on dry land. All the plagues in Israel, all the plagues on Egypt, everything that you've done, God, everything that you've showed us, never mind that, we're going to die. You brought us out here so we would die of thirst in the desert. That's what you did. They were mumbling and complaining and murmuring against God. They didn't believe. What is it? It's a lack of faith. That's what it is. Grumbling is nothing more. Murmuring is nothing more than a lack of faith. But by the way, it carries the death sentence. God hates murmurs. He hates it. He absolutely hates murmuring. Why? Because it is challenging His providence. It is challenging His authority. It is challenging His judgment. Amen. Exodus chapter 16. See, their murmuring got worse. If you don't deal with murmuring and complaining and grumbling, if you don't deal with it, it will continue to get worse. Exodus chapter 16 and verse number 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I mean, what happened? What just happened? He just gave them water to drink, right? Now, mind you, none of them have cried out to God to deliver them. None of them have cried out to God, but they have complained and grumbled against God. They've not prayed to Him and asked God. You have not because you ask not. I know, but it's easier to walk in the flesh, isn't it? And it's easier to grumble about everything. It's easier to complain about everything than to go to the one that can fix everything. So that's what happens. You grumble and you complain about everything. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. See, I'm going to rain. You know what? I'm going to rain. I'm going to prove them here. I'm going to prove that it doesn't matter whatever I do for them, they are going to grumble and complain. So what did he do? He rained down bread for them. He rained it down, bread from heaven. Right? Notice they first murmured about the water, then the food. And God said, oh, okay, I'll rain down bread for you. Right, which is a type of Christ, by the way. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 7. And in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord. For he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? That's just it. He said, what are we? Who are we? We're nobody that you murmur against us. You're murmuring against the Lord. You are grumbling and complaining against God. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 8. Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Now, when you murmur under your breath and you grumble about your situation or where the situation you're in, usually it's a rebellion against authority. That's usually what murmuring is. That's usually what grumbling is against authority. When your children do it, they grumble against your authority. Amen? When a wife does it, she's grumbling against the authority usually of her husband. Amen? She's grumbling against it. Low, inarticulate, can't understand what they're really saying, but just grumbling and complaining and murmuring against it. Why? Not brave enough or spiritual enough to sit down and deal with it, but got to murmur and complain about it. By the way, sometimes, you know, you can suffer yourself to be defrauded, the Bible says, too. I'm going to tell you, we have to be careful as we hold up the truth and do what we do, that we don't become hypercritical of everything and everyone. You've got to make sure that what you're dealing with is doctrinal, and what you're dealing with when you come out, when you stand against some error or something like that, that you're not murmuring and just murmuring and complaining about everything. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. There isn't a preacher alive that's going to do everything the way you think it should be done. But you know what I find? Some of the most hypercritical people ever are waiting to find something that they can snap, they can catch you in. That's what they're waiting for. Why? Because then they can, you know, then they can dull your blade a little bit. They can take off the edge a little bit. They don't have to listen to everything you say. They can find an excuse. Happens. Happens a lot. They did it to Moses. I'm going to show you how they did it to Moses. Just in a few minutes. Well, they've been doing it to Moses the whole time, but they did it unto the Lord. It's to complain in a low, half-articulate voice. You can't understand it. Really? Exodus chapter 17, verse number 3. Turn there, please. Exodus 17:3, and the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Now remember, God had just healed the waters. God had just rained down bread from heaven for them, right? What now? You're going to kill us, God. We don't have any water. Never once records that they prayed and called out to God to give them what they needed. What did they do? No, they just grumbled against God. They grumbled against His providence. They grumbled against... They didn't go to Him like a father and ask Him and say, Lord, please, give us water. The people thirsted there for water. Wherefore is this that Thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Verse number 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? They didn't smack the waters like Elijah did and say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? They didn't do that. What did they do? No, they grumbled against God and they said, is he really God? I mean, where is he? We're out here. Where is God? See, their murmuring was getting worse and it was getting worse, and God was going to chasten them soon for their constant complaining against the Lord and his providence. Right? Because guess what? All of that was nothing more than a test, right? But they're murmuring and complaining. They weren't praying and asking God for the deliverance and to help them through everything. They complained. And then a big test came. And it cost them 40 years in the wilderness. And it cost them their lives. Numbers chapter 13, please. Because when it was time to face the giants, they couldn't do it. Why? Because all they were used to was complaining against God. They weren't used to praying to God. They were used to grumbling against God, not humbling themselves and asking God to deliver them. So what happened? Numbers chapter 13, verse number 28. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites. Verse number 28, they dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Amen. We are well able to overcome it. Amen. Right? Why? Because he believed God. See, Caleb had faith. Caleb had faith. He believed God. That's the difference. He had faith. It's not a difference that Caleb was stronger or in the flesh or mightier in the flesh. No, it's that Caleb had faith. He believed God. When you grumble against God, you don't have faith in God. You don't believe that He'll take care of you. You don't believe that He has your best interest at heart, and you're not close enough to Him to cry out to Him. Just like that. See? Crying out. But the men, look at the contrast. Caleb said, we are well able to overcome it. I like that. Amen? The Bible says Caleb had another spirit. That's what the Bible says about him. He had another spirit. Amen? But look at the contrast. Every time that word but comes in, you know there's trouble. It's going to be something different coming up here. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Yeah, but they're not stronger than your God. Amen. They're not stronger than your God, you grumbling, complaining sissy. Right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Not stronger than your God. The situation you're in right now, the struggle that you have, the challenge, it's not greater than God. It's not greater than the Lord. It's not greater than faith if you'll place it in God. If you believe Him for your everlasting soul, why can't you believe Him for your everyday needs? For your everyday challenges. Why? Because you grumble against God. That's why. And you sin very grievously against God. And God hates your grumbling. He absolutely hates it. And He will judge it and He will punish it. Because God hates grumbling. He will bring out the rod of correction. And He will deal with you as a father does his son. You know what you do to your son and daughter when they start grumbling against what you've provided for them? You start taking things away. Right? What happens when you start taking things away? They start to become more appreciative of what they have. That's what happens. What's God going to do to you? Same thing. Start taking things away until you're more appreciative of what God has given you. Amen? Numbers chapter 13, verse number 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched out unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. So they give the evil report, right? They grumble against God. They're in a state of grumbling against God constantly. Constantly grumbling against God. So what happens? You can't fight giants when you're grumbling against God. No. You're too busy complaining. You're not praying. Give me a break. You know, I can tell somebody's not praying. They're grumbling. You're not praying. You're grumbling. Because when you're praying, you're not going to do both. You can't do both. Because one rests in the providence of God and the trust in God's sovereignty that He will take care of you, that He will supply your needs, that He will meet your needs. He will take care of you. He will strengthen you. He will give you what you need. When you're grumbling, you're not praying. Why? Because you're not dependent on God. You're dependent on your human reasoning and yourself. Oh, I've got this. I can figure this out. No, you can't. You can't figure it out. And that's why you're in the place you are. And that's why you're grumbling, because you haven't figured out that you need God, that you need to fall on Jesus Christ, that you need His mercy every day. You needed to wake up. You needed to go to bed. You needed to work every day. You needed to be a parent. You need the grace of God. Numbers 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Hey, how about we've heard that before, haven't we? Look, they just kept doing it. Oh, and they murmured against God. Oh, I know. Some of you out there act like you got it so bad. Man, I talk to people from third world countries. I get emails from people in third world countries. You live in America. You don't know what hard is, okay? Nobody in this room knows what a hard life is. Let's be real, okay? Not to the fullest. Not what some go through every day of their life. And you know what the sad thing is? And it kind of segues into what we're talking about in the next hour. Apathy. That's the sad thing, because that's where it's led. Thy prosperity has led to apathy. We don't even care anymore what goes on. The only thing we know is our own self-centered world. We don't care. America doesn't care anymore. I can't get on that. I got to keep going. Okay? That's the next one. I can't preach that one in this one. I got to keep moving. All right? Anyway, keep moving. But you know what? People are so self-centered. Christians are so self-centered. It's all about them, how I feel. Makes me feel bad. That's great. You know what? Sometimes you just got to feel bad and shut up about it. How do you like that? You don't like it? I'm going to say it to you again. Sometimes you're going to feel bad and you just need to shut up about it. Yep. Not everybody has to be miserable because you are. Do you understand that? I don't know if anybody's ever broke that to you before, but let me break that to you. All right? Let me say that again. You don't have to make everybody else miserable just because you are. If you ain't happy, smile anyway. Amen? But you better check out why you have no joy, because there's something wrong with you. Because your life ain't that bad. There ain't anybody in this room right now, their life is that bad. It just isn't. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. You little ungrateful reprobates, you should have died there." Amen? "Or would God we had died in this wilderness." Oh, let us just die now. Why? We have a challenge. Woe is me. Life's over. Oh, you have an obstacle in life, so now it's over. Did you ever think those are there for you to pray through instead of fall apart and die on the ground? Because you have a challenge? How will you ever grow to trust God if you don't have to slay giants? How will your relationship ever grow if you don't have to slay the giants? You know what they had to do? They had to cumber through 40 years in the wilderness, you know why? And die and not even see the promised land. You know why? Because they grumbled against God. That's why. Just so ungrateful. Absolutely ungrateful. "And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?" And they said one to another, "Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt." Let me get this straight. God comes down, shows his mighty power, delivers you, plagues Egypt, kills Pharaoh's firstborn, looks at Pharaoh and said, "I did this to you." Right? Delivers you, you leave. You're all going out. 2 million of you go get out of there. Parts the Red Sea for you. Walk across. Gives you water. Strikes a rock. Gives you water again. Rains bread down from heaven. Tells you to go up there and survey the land because you're going to take it. And what do you say to God? "What are you trying to kill me? What's the matter with you? You trying to kill me?" Grumbling against God. And they said, "One another, let us make a captain. Let us return into Egypt." So now their murmuring and their complaining has led them what? Man, they don't even want the promised land. So God said, "Fine. You don't want it? You ain't getting it. It's okay. You don't want it? You won't get it." And they said, Numbers 14, verse number 36, "And the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plagues before the Lord." All those 10 spies that went up to that land, the 10 that said, remember that 10 were bad and 2 were good, right? What happened to those 10? What'd they say? They said, "Oh, we're going to all die. You don't want to go in there. We don't want that land." Well, I don't know what those dummies thought they were going to do wandering around the wilderness with no land to go to. "We're just going to wander around the wilderness. I mean, what's your plan?" "Oh, no, I got a plan. Let's go back to the world." Right? Egypt, a picture of the world. "Let's go back to the world. The Christian life is too hard for me. There's actually challenges. I got to put my big boy pants on. I think it's time for me to go back to the world. It's easier there. Nobody hates me there. Everybody loves me there. Everybody will speak well of me there. So I'll go back to the world." We got a bunch of whining baby grumbling against God Christians today. They are whining about having to stand for God and going through some challenges. So people are upset with you. Big deal. Get over it. Tell them what I tell them. Pick a number. Get in line. I don't care if you're upset with me. Doesn't matter. Especially if it's because I'm following the Lord. So you hate me. Big deal. I've been hated. The Lord said I'd be hated. Must mean I'm doing it right. See what their murmuring had caused them, though? More and more trouble. They're digging themselves deeper and deeper. Their murmuring caused a death sentence for them. They murmured and complained against the leadership over them. In Numbers chapter 16, verse number 3, "And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron." Here it comes. Here comes the big church split right here. Right? That's what they're doing. They gather themselves together against Moses. What do? They went around murmuring and complaining against everybody. Oh, that Moses, who does he think he is? Who do you think you are, preacher? Who do you think you are preaching like that? You think you can preach bold like that? You think you can say things like that? You think you can be that way? Well, we'll show you. So what do? They gathered a whole group of murmurers and complainers against him. Said, okay, now we're going to all complain against him. Now we're going to all murmur against them. So they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon you. Seeing all this congregation are holy, every one of them. Who do you think you are, Moses? All of us are holy, Moses. Who do you think you are? I've been around people like that. By the way, that spirit can creep up in any of you if you're not careful. You entertain complaints. It'll happen to you too. Again, I'm not speaking about doctrine. I'm talking about complaints. I don't like the way this is done. I don't like the way that's done. Yeah, they didn't like the way Moses did things either. So they came to Moses and Aaron and they said, you're doing it wrong. We're holy too. You ever been around those people? They don't want to be in a local New Testament church. Or if they are, they want to cause and stir up problems. The ones that want to stay out, though, they don't want to be there. Why? Well, because I'm just as important as the pastor is. Well, nobody said you're not. It's a body. We're all important to God. The point is, there's an office. And what you're doing is murmuring and complaining against God's authority that He placed in.
Amen.
That's right. God put it there in His church. It's His body. It's His church. I'm not the head. Christ is the head of the church. But He said, here's the office. Our offices. Here they are. Right? That's right. God is the one that says it. So what happened? They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon you. Hey, Moses. You take too much upon you. I mean, you're not all that, Moses. Who do you think you are anyway? You think you have the right to speak to us like that, Moses? You think you have the right to be that way, Moses? Seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Hey, God's among us too. By the way, Moses never said he wasn't. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. See, that's it. Oh, who do you think you are? Lifting yourself up above. What's this? This are people right here. You can modernize this in the sense of this. People right there today about any pastoral authority at all. They would love to take the teeth out of the pastor. Take his authority away. Take the leadership away. And they say, well, I can do it better than you. Listen, folks, let me tell you something, okay? I would not doubt the fact that any of you could probably do things better than me. I don't even doubt that. Okay? I don't even doubt that at all. But the difference is that God is the one that called me to that. That's the difference. So if your decisions could be better than mine, I don't doubt that. And we can always sit down and reason together. But you know the difference is at the end of the day, I'm the one, at the end of this life, I have to stand before Him and give an account for your soul. I have to give the account. So if I let everybody else do everything and make every decision and do it all the way that they think is best, I get to stand before God and be like, well, you're in charge of all these decisions because I placed you there. So you get the answer for it. I'm fully aware that there are people that would do things differently than me. And probably be more organized and do this and do that. But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Not at all. And when Moses heard it, what did he do? He fell on his face. The Bible says he fell upon his face. Now, why did Moses fall upon his face? Because he knew God's judgment was coming. Because he knew this is it. I'm the only thing that was protecting you, Moses was saying. I was there for you. What have you done? Don't do this. He fell on his face and said, don't do this. Why? The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. Right. Why? As they that must, because they have to give an account for you, that they can do it without, with joy and not grievously. For your sake. Don't make it grievous for them, for your own sake. This is what happened here. When Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Moses was grieved. He knew the sin of murmuring was a death sentence. He knew that God had just, that's just it. God was, he had it with him. He wasn't going to put up with it anymore. Numbers 16:11, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is there in that you murmur against him? Verse number 13, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Well, first of all, they didn't bring them up out of the land of milk and honey, okay? They were in Egypt, okay? They were slaves in Egypt. They weren't out of the land of milk. He was taking them to the land of milk and honey. He was trying to take them there. And they stopped him every way. In fact, the Bible records over and over again when Moses has died. Moses said, he looks at me, he says, hey, because of you, I'm not going in there. And you say, well, Moses sinned. Yeah, he did, but the Bible says they provoked him. Because they constantly, constantly railed on him. And the more he loved him, like Paul said, the more I'm hated by you. He said, the more I love you, the more you hate me. Right. Why? Because that's the way it is. So he says, it's a small thing that you become a prince over us. So Moses, all of us are holy. Why are you the leader, Moses? We should all share leadership. There should be like 500 leaders here. Like I've seen churches out there that have multiple elders or rulers or whatever you want to call it, multiple pastors. And there's like four of them. Now they all sit in a room and they can't decide what they're going to do half the time. I'm still waiting on one of them that's supposed to be making a decision about 501c3. And man, that's been like 3 years. They're still waiting. I still ain't heard anything. Why? Because there's like four of them and they all got to sit around and figure out what they're going to do and pontificate what they're going to do. Democracy look like? Yeah, what's democracy look like? Stop it. I got to preach. I can't have that in my head anymore, okay? You know, I don't have that sign, but that's bad. Anyway, and they can't make any decisions. See, are you against multiple elders? No, I think there's one ruling elder in a body. That's what I believe. And I've heard all of the arguments for it. And I've also seen the practicality for it. I also know that when that certain came from James, it came down to James. He was the one that was the pastor there, and he was the one that made the decision. Yeah, so anyway, I think when you have four guys trying to make a decision for a group, it's not going to work. Well, let's see how it works for Moses. Did it work very well? Hey, we can all do it. Now that doesn't mean a pastor doesn't have accountability either, because he does. If he sins, if he doctrinally errs, then the body has a responsibility to call him on it. Amen? All right, murmuring is from the heart. It's not being submissive to the Lord. Numbers 16:29, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, that means alive into the pit, right? Then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. You know, it all started with the murmuring and complaining. But see, murmurers and complainers, grumblers against God, they're not content with just their own grumbling. They have to spread it like a plague. They've got to tell somebody else how much they're not happy with everything that's going on. So they got to tell other people. Why? Because they need an audience. Because they're not brave enough to deal with something, but they need an audience to do that with. That's how it works. Numbers 16:31. And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained unto them, to them went down alive into the pit. No, that's not a parable. They went alive into the pit. That's right. That's right, the bottomless pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Gone. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. Remember those 250? Oh, hey, we're just as good as you, Moses. We can do what we want. We're holy too. We got our own incense we're going to burn here. But God say, okay, well, they didn't fall into the pit, but guess where they're going? Boom, fire from heaven. God doesn't like murmuring and complaining. It brought the death sentence. Isaiah chapter 29, verse number 24 says this, they also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. Amen? That's good, isn't it? The scribes and the Pharisees murmured against Jesus. Luke chapter 5, verse number 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, what do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? Why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? What's wrong with you? What were they looking for? Just something to rail on him about. That's it. Just they had to have something. Because they saw the power of God and it offended them. They didn't like it. So what were they doing? They were nitpicking. You know what I find most people do? That's what they nitpick. There's no strong basis for what they're doing. But they got to be hypercritical. It's not a doctrinal issue. It's nitpicking. See, there are people out, even people listening to us, there are people out there that are just waiting for something that I will do so they can jump on it. They wait for it. They listen in just for that intent. Yeah, they are wolves. They listen for just that intent so they can find accusation against me. Right. They won't. Most of them are cowards. They can't. Most of them are cowards. They won't deal with substance. They're just cowardly. That's how they do things. So they wait, and they wait till they can pounce on something. John chapter 6, verse number 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which come down from heaven. Isn't this interesting? Why is this so interesting? Yeah, it's interesting because he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. What was he telling them? Hey, you remember those Israelites that murmured against me in the wilderness? Yeah, you're those guys. See, because I'm that bread that came down from heaven, and they murmured and complained against me. You're murmuring and complaining against me because I am that bread that came down from heaven, and you're rejecting me. That's what Jesus was saying to them. They didn't like the authority of God over them. They didn't like any authority over them at all. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 7. Who was that? Well, he was going to hang out with Nicodemus, or who's the little guy in the tree again? Zacchaeus. There we go. Sorry. The wee little man. There's your wee little man, Russ, right there. They saw it, they all murmured. All right. John chapter 6, verse number 43. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. Jesus commanded it. Don't murmur. They wouldn't come and have a conversation with him. They just murmured against him. Kind of like what most people do. They'll murmur and complain against me, but they won't have a conversation about it. Or if they do, it's got to be frivolous. It's got to be blown out of proportion. Not really substance, just blown out of proportion. Right, schismatic, exactly. Does this do all things without murmurings and disputings? See that? My tongue was tied there. Murmurings and disputings. Wow. There's a lot of D's for me there or something. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What was he saying that? Well, we're going to get into that a little bit here, but Christians give the Lord Jesus Christ a bad name when they run around grumbling about everything.
Right.
When you run around grumbling about everything, you really do make, I mean, that doesn't make people want to be a Christian. You know that, right? When you run around and complain about every single thing, you know, always complaining about things, that doesn't make people want to be saved. People don't look at you and be like, wow, I want what you have. No, they don't want to work with you either. That's right. If you work with people and you go to your job and you just complain about everything, that's not going to be good. That's not going to be a good testimony. No, and they don't like to work with you when you're holy either. That's right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think it was Spurgeon who said this, sadly, murmuring is one of the most prevalent sins among some brethren. Those who would never think of committing adultery or murder are guilty of this sin. Some who have the highest morals, adhere most closely to doctrine, and are most liberal in their giving, negate all good things they do by whining. Wow. Pretty powerful statement, huh? Pretty powerful. Okay. So number one, discontent causes murmuring. Discontent. Christians are taught to be content with the necessities that they have. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, please. First Timothy chapter 6, verse number 7 and 8. For we brought nothing into, for God, oh, verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Amen. It's a tough one, isn't it, sometimes? We get caught up in America commercialism and everything. We get caught up into everything. Right? Turn to Philippians chapter 4, please. Verse number 11. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Amen. Paul said he learned that. He didn't know that already. He didn't have that at the beginning of his Christian life. He said he learned it. What is it? Contentment is a sign of Christian maturity. Being content in whatever state you're in, like Minnesota. It's a sign of contentment. Amen. I'm working on that one. See, Paul said he learned it. Even content in 50 below. When your truck stalls on the side of the road and you're freezing. And Paul's shoveling for 3 hours before anybody's even awake. Woo! Okay, Brother Paul. Just once. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse number 5. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. It's trusting God's plan. He said, I worked all night. We didn't get anything. Contentment means that I trust God. Amen. Selfishness is the second cause of murmuring. Amen. Selfishness. I'm going to tell you what. Some grumbling, complaining people, they are very selfish people. It's everything. You know, listen to me. Let me tell you one thing that is really sad. And if you're doing this, you need to stop doing it because it's a shame to be a Christian to do this. But there are people that a situation can arise where there's heartache, pain, or suffering. And not the person that's suffering, but another person will come along and draw the attention away from that person and bring the attention upon themselves. Not ministering to the need of their brethren, but selfish and make everything about them. Those same people are grumblers and complainers. They're so busy thinking about themselves that they haven't even had time to see their hurting brethren or sister that are hurting, that are in pain. Why? Because they're always thinking about themselves. They haven't had time to minister to somebody else. They couldn't possibly minister to anybody else. Why? Because you're too busy looking at the mirror. That's why. You're too busy worrying about you. So those that are hurt, they stay hurt, and you don't help them. You don't comfort them at all. What is that? Selfishness. By the way, God hates that. I've been threatening to preach a message sometime on self-centered Christianity versus Christ-centered. I'm gonna do that sometime. Lord willing. Romans 15, 2. What's that? Yeah, it is. That's right. That's right. What does Romans 15, verse 2 say? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Right? Some of you think you're going to fold up and die if somebody else has a problem. You want it to be about you. You want it to be concentrated about you when they're the ones having the heartache and the pain. But you can't get past the fact that, well, I gotta know this, this, and this, and everything has to fall. It's about me. No, it's not. It's about the person turning. Go help them. Who cares how you feel? Sometimes you got to deny yourself, right? That's what the Bible says. That's right. Paul said, I die daily. John, he said, he must increase, but I must decrease, because he was getting ready to get his head chopped off. Amen? That's right. That's some real decreasing there. Selfish people want their way, and they don't like it one bit if they don't get it. Therefore, they murmur. They murmur and they complain. Why? Because they got to grumble and bring it all back to them. Being discontent and selfish, one murmurs and whines and thus sins, bringing condemnation to himself. Another product of his actions, though, is division among God's people. For that is what the murmurer is trying to do. Get people to become sympathetic to his point of view and antagonistic toward the other point of view. The Proverbs tells us that one of the seven things God hates is one who sows discord among the brethren. I got to win people to my side. It is wicked. Brother Finney said there was no sound 5 to 20 minutes. I don't know if it's his computer. Check with the guys online and see if they're, check with John and see if it's coming through okay. Or Jim, sorry. Okay. All right. Being discontent and selfish. Murmuring. By the way, number three, murmuring is contentious. It's contentious. The Lord said they tried him. What did they do? They were contending against it, being contentious with the Lord. Psalm 95, verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. Now, you think that's a good thing, but what he's saying is it's a bad thing the way they did it. Why? Because they tempted God with their grumbling. They tempted him. Amen? They tempted him with their grumbling against him. Grumbling and murmuring and complaining. What did they tempt him to do? They tempted God to move his hand against them. Boy, I get real scared when I hear lost people. This blatant, wicked lost man there at that event. He looked at me and man, he was just... And see, when people bring the Bible into a subject like that and they don't, about abortion and everything else, and they don't, and they clearly, I mean, they're bragging about how they know who God is, I bring the hammer down. I don't play games with that. So, he was like, well, why don't God just do something to me now then? I've been waiting. I've been waiting for him to do something to me. Where's he at? When's he going to do it? Mm. People who murmur, they rebel against God. They tempted him. What did they do in the wilderness? They tempted me and they saw my works. What did he mean by that? What David was saying is, hey, you tempted God. They tempted God. They provoked him. The provocation. They provoked him, and they ended up dying in the wilderness, all of them. Remember the language God used? He said, your carcasses shall die in the wilderness. That's pretty strong language, right? It's like a horse's carcass, you know? I mean, your carcass will die in the wilderness. Right. People who murmur, they rebel against God's will. Murmurers are rebels. They have a heart of rebellion. Oh, they may outwardly do some things that makes you think they're not rebelling, but murmurers are rebellious against God. Look at Deuteronomy. Turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 1. What you see this? People that murmur, they're rebels against God's order. I'm telling you what, there's so many of these guys out today that act like they're Christians and sanctified and they want to be used of God and everything, and they're blasting things out on the internet. But you ask them, hey, sir, what church do you go to? What church are you a member of? What church are you a member of? And who's your pastor? And who do you answer to? Who are you accountable to? Well, I'm accountable to God. Yeah, to the universal church, right? That's where they give all their offerings. I like what one preacher said. Why don't you ask them to preach your funeral then? Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 26. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. How about that? That murmuring is tied to rebellion. It's because you have a rebellious heart. You know how many people stay out of the local church that can go to one? There's people that can drive here today that should be here, but they won't. You know why? Because they're rebels in their heart. They're rebels in their heart. Mm-hmm. They rebel against God. And they murmur and they complain about everything. That's right, they have Egypt in their heart. They've got the world in their heart. They're thinking back at the garlic and the leeks they said were in Egypt. And they're thinking back, hey, I'm thinking back to what's in Egypt there. It's so great, Egypt. That's right. Despising what God, they make little, make it small. Doesn't mean anything. Is it a little matter to you, God said to them? Is it a little matter to you? Do you despise me that much? Because they didn't believe in the Word of God. They didn't believe God. Psalms 106, verse 24. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word. You see that? Verse number 25. Psalms 106. Verse number 24 and 25. It says, yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believed not his word, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. You notice how God is always bringing that up? Do you see that? They murmured in their tents. Well, surely you wouldn't grumble to everybody else a lot of times. That grumbling starts in your heart at home, in your tents at your home. So they sit around. You know, there's a lot of people that grumble. They listen to this preaching. They listen because they hate it for some reason, which is really weird to me. But if you keep listening to it, you're probably going to get saved. So keep listening to it. I'm glad you hate it right now and you listen to it. But keep listening because you need to be saved, okay? You got a hard, wicked little heart and you need it crushed by Jesus Christ. And he'll change you and make you a new creature. You'll be saved and you'll start liking this church. You really will. It'll happen to you. Amen. Just keep listening. God will work on your heart. They're just like these people. They grumble. They're at home grumbling in their tents. If I didn't like them, I sure would, like, I can't listen to Steven Anderson. Like, I couldn't listen to him for like an hour. I can't stand that guy. I couldn't listen to him. I don't know how people do it. They listen to somebody they don't like for hours. Boy, that's the dedication. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. If you were that dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd have the power of God on your life, and you wouldn't be so stinking miserable. That was free. Mark chapter 14. That's a shallow Bible teaching. Who says the Christian life isn't fun, huh? I have a blast. I have a lot of fun. I don't know why you guys don't have fun, you guys out there. It's great. Isn't it, Brother Paul? We have a lot of fun, man. Mark chapter 14, verse number 4. In the New Testament, there's an expanded understanding to the word murmur, which means to fault find. Okay? It means to fault find. It's the same word, but it just means to fault find. Or it's extended into more. Okay? The whole scope of the word, that is. It's to complain and it's to look for a fault. Okay? So, the Pharisees always tried to find fault with Christ. By the way, they really couldn't find any fault with his doctrine, because he would nail them every time, and they'd be like, oh yeah, well, we don't have anything to say. Right. So what did they do? Right, preferences. They tried to find a fault with him. They were looking for a fault. We all have faults. Amen? All of us do. Every single person. That doesn't mean we don't try to correct those or get better, but we all have faults. Man, if I ran around as a pastor and brought up all your faults to you, you would love me even more. Now, sometimes you bring my faults up to me, and that's fine. But I don't ever get the same grace that I give out to you. I can assure you of that, but that's okay. I understand the way the office works and everything. I'm just saying that happens to me more than I come looking for yours. Because I'm more visible. Right? So it's easier. It's easier to shoot an arrow at somebody that's standing right in front of you there, right? The Pharisees, they always tried finding fault with Christ. Wasn't to reprove his doctrine or error or worldliness. You'll find out that the most of the time what we deal with here, doctrine, error, and worldliness. That's what we deal with. I don't go looking for you and say, well, I don't like the way you do this. Because you know what? Everybody here is different. You work a different job than you do. You do something different than you do. And I don't go around and say, well, because you don't meet this standard or that standard or this, then there's something wrong with you. And I need to fix that in you. What is that? That's just fault finding is all that is. Yeah. But I've told Nate, and I'll tell him this again. You just be prepared for the grace that you give out to others you will not receive by people when you pastor. You will not. Don't expect it. Don't expect it. And the tendency is to put your guard up and you can't do that. You know, but that's the tendency. But complaining, what does it do? It denies or attacks God's sovereignty. Complaining disrupts Christian unity. Grumbling discredits our Christian testimony. I like this other quote by Spurgeon. The heathen misrepresent God by worshiping idols. We I'm tongue-tied today. I can't talk. I haven't been drinking anything but this adrenaline tincture. So... What's in this, Brother Nate? Oh. He's looking over at me like, I don't know. I've never taken it. I just gave it to you. I thought it'd be funny to see what happens to you when you drink this. Live. So far, it's been great. I'm going to try this again. The heathen misrepresent God by worshiping idols. We misrepresent God by our murmurings or our complainings and our thought that there is a pleasure in sin and weariness in the divine service. When we think that there's a weariness to divine service, when we think in our minds that there could possibly be some pleasure in sin and we murmur against God and complain against him, our thoughts are that towards the world and not towards the truth of the Scriptures. Because we're not content with what God has done in us and for us. And that's the lesson that we all must learn. Murmuring comes with a cost and a price. Complaining against God, grumbling against God, it has a price. It kills. Complaining kills. You raise children that complain about everything when you complain. That's why if you don't like something your wife does as a husband, talk to her in private about it. Don't do it in front of your kids. Because then they're going to think it's okay for them to do it to your wife and complain about what she does. Because all it looks like to them is complaining. Amen? Be grateful for what God has given you. Don't complain against God's providence for you, His protection, His needs, or the way He takes care of your needs. You know what else you can do? You can start praying instead of grumbling. Why don't you pray? Because that's the only thing that accomplishes anything. One is destructive. Complaining is destructive. It destroys. It kills. It'll kill joy. It'll kill the joy in others. It'll kill joy in your family. It destroys authority in the eyes of children. It kills the authority. Amen. Kills the authority. And you got to go back and fix a lot of things. And sometimes that sticks with them longer than what you imagine. And you can't fix it. Only the Lord can straighten them out at that point. Amen. So just remember, murmuring, complaining, grumbling against God carries a death sentence, kills a lot of things, destroys your testimony, destroys Christian unity. It kills Christian unity. It kills our Christian testimony. And it denies and attacks the sovereignty of God. Stern warning. Amen. Father, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. Help us to live them out every day of our lives. Help us to cry out to you instead of complain about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.